I am here with Becky McNeely today. The Keeping Home Planner is about to drop, and I just wanted to interview her so that you guys have all the information you need for ordering your planner for 2025. So, Becky, tell us a little bit about the Keeping Home Planner.
So I created this planner for homemakers, whether you are single, whether you're married, whether you have children, whether your children are out of your house. I wanted to create a planner that would be helpful for women in all walks of life and would help them focus their energy on taking really good care of their home to the glory of God.
That's awesome. So I have been using the Keeping Home Planner for 2 years now, right? Is this the second year?
This is the third.
This will be your third year. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I love it. And it sits on my buffet in my kitchen every day. Mm-hmm. Some of my favorite things about it are the commonplace in the back of the book. So I keep notes for homeschooling in there. I keep notes for podcast episodes in there. It's just my go-to all-in-one place, my schedule for our family, and also my notes of things. I also keep like book lists in there, reading lists. So I love that about it. I love it that it has a common place in the back as well as the planner. I love it that there's plenty of space on the pages for writing out your schedule. I love it that it has like home tasks for the day and also what's it called? The right side to-do list for the day. So I do like things that I want to get done around the house on one side. And then like if someone has a dentist appointment, there's also a spot for that. It also has what we're having for dinner each night in the weekly layouts. And there's just so much about it that is perfect for a homemaker. Those are some of my favorite things. What are some things that are your favorite things? Because you use the planner too. So what are your favorite things?
So I made this planner because it was a few years ago. I couldn't find one that I liked that had all of the features that I wanted. So I thought, why not create it? And if I'm looking for one, surely there are other women looking for it as well. So I thought, why not make a product that other women can use too. And one of the things that I wanted was I didn't want annoying heresy on every page.
Yeah.
Believe in yourself, follow your heart, things like that. I don't want it littered with that. I want it focused on scripture and how to be a godly woman and go about my days in a way that's honoring to the Lord. And so every page has a Bible verse, and I have structured the Bible verses seasonally as well. So in October, they're all Reformation based verses, and in November they are verses about Thanksgiving and things like that. So just, I like the Bible verses on each page. This year, two of the new features are a year at a glance page. There's two pages at the beginning where if you know things right off the bat that you just want to jot down dates, you can do a whole year at a glance, jot down important dates there. And then another new feature is at the back, there will be an end of the year reflection. So you can look back on 2025 and say what worked really well. What are some areas that I would like God to grow me in, whether it's in homemaking or personally in other areas, spiritually, things like that. That isn't a new feature this year. And another feature is at the very beginning, the last couple of years, I have written a prayer of blessing over the homes that these planners are going to be in. And this year, I thought it would be really cool to include a spot for you to write your own prayer of blessing over your home. So at the very beginning, the very first page in the planner is a prayer over 2025 that you get to write over your family, over your home, over the tasks that God has set before you. And I'm really excited to just know that there are women all over that are praying over their homes like that. And then something you can go back to and almost keep as a keepsake.
Love it.
And see, look, this is what I prayed for at the beginning of the year. And then at the end of the year, reflect on it and say, this is what God did.
So sweet. I love that. So where can people buy the Keeping Home Planner?
It's available on Fruitful and Fearless. If you follow Keeping Home on Instagram, there is a link in my bio there. Or you can just go to the Fruitful and Fearless website and purchase it from there.
Yeah. Thank you. And I will be purchasing mine soon. I can't wait. Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello, and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. Jared and I are here today, and we are going to chat about thankfulness since it is the month of November and Thanksgiving is upon us. We thought we'd do an episode just how to live a thankful life, steps to take towards thankfulness to cultivate more of a thankful spirit in your home and in your own heart.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Glad to be back.
Yeah, Yeah. It's easy to not be thankful and to fall into grumbling.
Would that be the opposite of thankfulness? Would be
grumbling.
Grumbling, complaining.
Probably, yeah. Dissatisfaction. But as Christians, we are people who aren't just thankful on Thanksgiving, but we should have a life of gratitude, that we should be thankful every day of the year. We have lots and lots and lots of things to be thankful about. So do you want to read that passage? Don't you?
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, the Christian life, all the Christian life, is rooted in Thanksgiving. God's been gracious. He's revealed himself both in nature and in his word. And then he has saved us by his grace. So the rest of our life, that's what sanctification is. Sanctification is simply a life of thanksgiving. We have gratitude for God's grace. So when we obey, we're doing that because we're thankful. So not only are we thankful for God's grace, but we're also thankful for God's gifts, which are an extension of his grace. But then we also have to recognize, like in this passage, that thankfulness is not an option for a believer. We have to give thanks, and we have to give thanks at all times, not just sometimes, not when we're feeling like it, but the command is upon us that we're thankful in everything. So let me just read the passage, and then we'll work out the details as we march through this. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Full stop. This is God's revealed will for you today. Not the ethereal will of the secret knowledge of God that you wish you had about what your day's going to look like, or what tomorrow's going to look like, or what I'm supposed to do in this situation or that. This is a very specific case of God's revealed will. And God's will for you today is to give thanks in all circumstances. So it's a command. We have to do it. And it's our great joy to do it. We always come back to being grateful for God's grace.
Mm-hmm. So a couple things that I was thinking how to cultivate thankfulness in your life. One is contentment. Because I think contentment and gratitude go hand in hand. Because when you're discontent with what you have, you're not thankful for it. So pursuing contentment with what God has given you right now, mm-hmm. instead of thinking about in 5 years from now, what it could possibly be like, or what you hope it's going to be like. Strive for contentment and gratitude for what you have in this moment. Philippians 4, 10 through 13 is where Paul talks about the secret of contentment. These highs and lows, the secret of being content. He ends it with, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Even if you're in a difficult season that you're like, how can I find something to be thankful for right now? You can be thankful that God gives you strength, even through difficulty. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to be grateful for, even in difficulty. Even this morning, something that happened in our home, and you text me about it, and I wrote back, I am thankful for the fruit that God's going to bring.
Yeah,
because of this, even though it was like a bummer, I can see how God is working even in that bummer, in our own hearts and in our sanctification. So there's always something to be thankful for, even in difficulty.
Yes.
So contentment, pursuing contentment.
Well, and that's going back to this passage, give thanks in all circumstances.
Yeah.
Those circumstances under God's sovereign hand in our life, there are good things, and then there are difficult things, all within the sovereign plan of God for our lives. And there's something in it that we have to we have to be thankful for. I'm reminded, you know, sometimes people in the business world, they latch on to some things by God's common grace, and they actually talk about them in a very helpful way. And Jocko Willink, the guy that wrote Extreme Ownership, in this video, he was talking about when he was in the military, and he was a sergeant or commander. He had some sort of command of a team. He was a SEAL team leader. And there was some sort of intel that came to him that was bad intel. It was bad. They weren't going to get the supplies or the reinforcements that they needed. There was something that was bad about this intel report. When he heard the report, the inferior officer said, but I know what you're already going to say. You're going to say, good. Because Jocko Willink would always say, good. And if you can jump on YouTube and find a link to this. It's really, it may be more impactful for the guys than the girls, but I think it applies.
Because we do this with our sons. When something happens with them that they don't like they just dropped all the things that they were carrying around. They're like, ah, and then we're like, good. Now yes. You get a chance to put them all back better.
But see, that's a non-Christian man who's understanding the principle or the command that's in this passage, that there's something here to give thanks for. There's something good that's going to come from this sad providence. God is at
difficulty.
Work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another one that I have is don't despise small beginnings. One thing that can hinder you from being thankful is wishing that you were further along or wishing that your table was bigger or that you had...
You mean like you had more kids or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because kids come one at a time.
Yeah. Or that, you know, you wish that your bank account was bigger or wish that your education was more, like wish that you had more time to pursue stuff like that. Like
you already had productive
property. Yeah. Wish you already had productive property.
Wish you already had a hunting land.
Yeah. All those things that you think, man, it would be nice if I was in the place where this person is or whatever. To not despise small beginnings, that a lot of times God gives you little so that you can be faithful with it, and to not despise that.
Yeah.
But to be thankful for the season of less, to be thankful, to be faithful with that instead of the difficulty that comes with more. Mm. And a bigger house is more to clean, more kids are more people to care for. And that's an amazing thing. And lots of fruit is wonderful. But don't despise where you are right now, but be thankful for where you are right now, difficulties and blessings and all the things in between, and know that with more, there is a different set of difficulties and blessings that come with that. That, I think, is intertwined with envy in some ways, not being content with what you have and thinking that what you have is too small, but and thinking that something that someone else has is grander in all the ways. And that the grass is greener over there. So don't be envious. Don't despise small good beginnings.
Envy is this weird thing. It's just the rot to the bones is what the proverb says. And what ends up happening is everybody looks at everybody else's life and thinks, oh, I like that. Mm-hmm. I wish I had that. At the same time, the one who's being envious is being looked back at. Mm-hmm. And somebody else is saying, ooh, I like that. Or I like that aspect of their life. That's how envy works. It's totally destructive over what God has given you. And if you just look back and just step back at your life and look at the things that you're enjoying right now, the fruit that has grown in your midst from the work of your hands or just God has been gracious and just thrown in your lap. Well, if you look back a few years or 5 years, everything that you're reaping now started with sowing seeds, little seeds years ago, and now all of a sudden they've grown and there's fruit. And every season of life comes like that. It's, you know, looking down the road 10 years or 15 years from now, what you do today matters, and there's good works that God has prepared in advance for us to walk in. So be faithful today, be thankful for what God has given you now, and then work for the fruit that's going to come tomorrow.
Yeah, there can be a subtle embarrassment of a small beginning of like, I wish that I don't want to write a book because it would just be self-published. I don't want to host a family because I don't have fine china to put our stuff on. There's a subtle embarrassment sometimes with small beginnings, and just don't do that. Don't be embarrassed of a small beginning, but be faithful in the small beginning and trust that if it's God's will that he rise you in a different place, that he'll do that. And if not, then be content in the small beginning on the paper plates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, paper plates still serve good food.
Yeah. Okay, the next one is ruthlessly eliminate complaining.
We've talked a lot about that.
Yeah.
I don't complain anymore, ever.
No.
Complaining is this weird thing. It's a habitual problem of the people of God. In the Old Testament and the Spirit-filled people of God, the New Testament still struggle with this sin. And we have the power through the Holy Spirit to put that sin to death. And I think different personality types deal with certain sin propensities in different ways. So some people are just not naturally inclined to complain. Other people are more inclined to complain. It's looking at God and saying, I don't like what you've given me. I don't appreciate what I have. I wish I had something else.
Mm-hmm. And it can be a habit. So it's something that you need to be aware of in your life because you can do it without even thinking. And it can be small things like dishes and trash and floors and schoolwork. And it can just be little statements like, why don't you guys do this or do that? You know, and it just, you need to ruthlessly eliminate it. Don't let it come out of your mouth, and you will be a much more thankful and happy person if you don't allow the complaining to come out of your mouth.
It'd be really nice if we had a shock collar put on that would shock us every time.
Like Maslow's dog.
We complained. And
wait. Pavlov's dog?
Pavlov, I don't know. I don't know. But it's like rat training or dog training, yeah. Whatever. If you just got the shock effect every time you complained, it would be, I mean, I would sign up for that. Like, that would be, I think, tremendously helpful. And I think everybody would be pretty shocked at how much they've complained and just realize, my goodness, I complain about everything.
Right.
And it's unnecessary.
Yeah. And it just really brings the home down. in a lot of ways if the mom and dad are complaining about things, and it's very contagious to the whole family. So instead, thank you, God, for dishes. Thank you, God, for dirty floors and all the feet that are dusty that came through them. Because our kids are always barefoot, so that's why there's dusty footprints all over.
Valor more than anything else, though. Valor's feet.
Today, we were sitting on the couch, and he sat down on the coffee table with his feet like this, and Rance was like, Valor, your feet! He had to immediately go wash them because they were just very
his feet. And Willie goes, we didn't like wearing socks, didn't like wearing shoes.
Yeah.
So he wears his sandals.
And
loves
it's November
sandals.
Even still. Yeah. And if we're going somewhere, he has to wear shoes and socks. But at home, he's always running outside barefoot.
You know what's funny to me, though, is because we have sandals that look alike, but they're different kinds of sandals, but they're similar. And I've seen him on multiple occasions now wearing one of
they're
the opposite.
Navy blue.
Yeah, but this is a little bit different style.
Slightly different buckle.
Doesn't care.
But, and so, yeah, just lastly, on grumbling. Don't be a grumbler, be a doer. And the Israelites got in lots and lots of trouble for grumbling. And God obviously hates grumbling. And not only is it disrespectful towards God and ungrateful to God for what he has done for us, but it is a disease to the people around us that is just really harmful, especially in the church and in the home, obviously. If you have problems with your church, and our church has been so beautiful about this, if there is something that is bugging you about the church, instead of be a person that complains about it, be a person that helps the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so thankful for the people in our life that have grabbed the problem and been like, I can take care of that, you know? So don't be a grumbler, be a doer. And if something's bugging you, take care of it.
Yeah, grumbling and the sloth. The Proverbs sloth go together.
Yeah.
The person who's active doing what God has called them to do, you really don't have a whole lot of time to grumble and complain about either how things are going or how things aren't going, what you do or don't have, because you're busy doing what God has called you to do. Mm-hmm. And if you go back to what God's word says, just clear commands to us as the people of God, God has just simply told us, give thanks in all circumstances. There's real clear practical steps here. Stop, push pause, and just say, God, thank you. Thank you that you have saved me, that you've been gracious to me, that my salvation is all of grace, that I'm justified now, that I'm not on the road to justification, but you've been gracious to me. You've given me a great family. You've given me a great church. You've given me, fill in the blank, just start giving God thanks for the things in your life. And you know, you guys have done activities like this before, but it's tremendous. I mean, just to stop and pause and actually be in the moment and look at the life God has given you, man, you can find a whole lot there to be thankful for.
Yeah. One thing with grumbling, I've thought about this in my life. If something bugs me, I typically think maybe God has given me the eyes to notice that because he wants me to do something about it. And I've talked about this lots on the podcast, but I'm a very visual person. Aesthetics are really important to me. So when something is like cluttery and messed up, and it drives me nuts. So I have kind of taken it as, if something is an annoyance to me, like at church or something, then maybe I'm the person that should do something about it rather than the person to critique it. So don't be a critic, be a Christian and help the problem. We play the Thank You Jesus game at our home, and I would highly recommend it for your family and little kids, just going around the dinner table or going around as you're snuggled in jammies before bed. Let's play the Thank You Jesus game. Thank you, Jesus, for fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
And you just take turns, go around a circle. And it's so beautiful to see all the things that your little kids are thankful for, and big kids too. It's really neat to see their hearts and what they feel thankful for. And it's a good exercise in gratitude. Anything else about thankfulness? Okay, then let's give tips about Thanksgiving. We've been hosting Thanksgiving at our house the past few years. This is year
three or four.
Mm-hmm. And it's really special. And I thought we could give a few tips and things that we do at Thanksgiving. Step one, tip one for me is buy a smoker. We got a smoker at a yard sale a few years back, and it has been a tremendous blessing to our family because it's the convenience of a crock pot, but men like it.
Yeah.
So it's like a manly meat cooking situation that
Jared does.
It was only $35 at a sale as well. And I got 4 years out of it, I think, yeah. Something like that.
I'm all for it because, yeah, men like get into, have you noticed this? Like with us, if you were to like get a crock pot at a yard sale, you'd be like, this is not my tool.
No.
But a smoker is your tool.
Yeah, it's fun. Are we smoking the turkey this year?
Yeah.
Okay, good deal. I like that.
It's a very hands-off tool. Like a crock pot, but the meat is amazing, very easy. And the turkey, my favorite way to cook a turkey has been in the smoker. Has it been your favorite way?
I think so.
Or in the oven. The oven and smoker.
I like deep frying it as well, though.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like that's not as good.
You don't think?
I didn't like it as good.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Scott did that, so my way's better than Scott's way.
Scott's the brother-in-law.
That I love, by the way.
Anyways, I like a smoker. I think the turkey comes out really great in a smoker. And like I said, it's so hands-off. It's just very convenient. And another thing about the deep frying of the turkey, if you have a lot of kids running around outside, it's a little like, this is a huge hazard. No one go near the turkey fryer. And the smoker just feels a lot more safe and contained and all that. So
yeah.
Step one, or tip one, I mean, I really like a smoker for Thanksgiving.
Well,
and all year long.
I would just throw out there, get a bunch of snacks that you enjoy, that the family enjoys, because it's football day. Hopefully you can play football outside if the weather's good. We usually do something like that as a family. We get outside, either have a wiffle ball game or a football game, do something like that. But those are things that I just really enjoy. Obviously, you're going to get snacks.
So like hors d'oeuvre trays.
Oh, yeah. You got to be watching football. I mean, you got to have your drinks. You got to have food.
Yeah. So I usually do a little tray of hors d'oeuvres of like green olives, black olives, cheese cubes, nuts, crackers, brie cheese, all the spread of snacky little things before and after the actual meal. That's just kind of always set out for snacking. Another tip that I have is there's a lot of desserts that freeze really well that are Thanksgiving-y. Last year, I think I made like a caramel apple cheesecake and froze it because Oak's birthday was December 8th. No, November 8th. Oak's birthday was November 8th. So I had just had a C-section, but we still hosted Thanksgiving.
Which is not a good idea.
No, I don't recommend it.
I don't know how that happened, but
I don't recommend it to anyone. So, like,
shouldn't have let that
a
happen.
Week and a half after having
I'm
a
really
C-section.
Sorry. It's sorry, everyone. Fruitful and fearless listeners. I dropped the ball. I should not have allowed that to happen.
So, anyways, but I'm hard to force into rest because a week and a half after having him, I was up making pies to freeze. So, anyways, I made a caramel apple cheesecake last year and froze it, and it turned out really, really great. Thawed really, really well, and it was yummy. Do you remember? I think I also made the pecan pie bars and froze them, and they work well too, freezing and thawing. So I don't know about a pumpkin pie. I haven't tried that one, but there are lots of desserts that are Thanksgiving-y that can be frozen in the weeks leading up to Thanksgiving, and then you just get to pull them out the day before and let them thaw slowly in the fridge, and then they're perfect for Thanksgiving. So, hosting tip for pies. You can also par-bake rolls and stick them in the freezer.
Tip three?
I think this is my third tip.
Okay.
You can par-bake rolls and stick them in the freezer and pull them out before and make them the day of, so I'm all about doing things, staggering things out, because I don't usually have a full 2 days uninterrupted that I can cook and do things like that. So you mentioned drinks.
Yeah, gotta have good drinks.
Fun drinks make everything more exciting. So drinks for the guys, fun cocktails for the girls, or men who might prefer a cocktail.
Men don't drink cocktails. Get some bourbon, beer, and you're good to go.
And then even if you have like a fun drink for the kids or something, but I like a fun drink in a fun cup. Another thing that I've been doing the past few years is doing disposable plates and cups and napkins, but getting cute ones. We have a Home Goods in our town and they carry very festive, cute paper goods. Rifle Paper Company has really cute cups and plates. I see I need a girl to talk to in this moment because you're just like blankly nodding. The cute
It sounds like a cool company, though. Rifle
Paper Company.
Rifle Paper Company.
Yeah, they make cute paper plates. So anyway, check out Home Goods for your paper plates needs this year. And my family has done a pretty similar menu for Thanksgiving the past few years. And so we just keep repeating the same menu, and the same people bring the same thing just for ease of mental energy. Like, we do the same, you know, four items for the Thanksgiving menu. My mom brings the same three or four items. My sister-in-law brings the same three or four items. We know what we're doing. We just kind of repeat the same thing, and it makes it a little bit easier. So anyways, there's a few tips for Thanksgiving this year. We hope you guys have a very festive and fun Thanksgiving with your families, full of gratitude to Christ for all the wonderful blessings that you have around you.
Hey, everyone. We want to thank you so much for listening to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast and continuing to come back. You guys have certainly been an encouragement to us, and we hope we've been an encouragement to you as well. We want to continue this work, and we need your help to do that.
If you'd head over to the Fruitful and Fearless website, it's just fruitfulandfearless.com. You can find memberships there that are different tiers that contain different benefits to you as well. If you want to just support us for the heck of it because you're enjoying the show, that's always a blessing as well. But we try to make it even more worth it for you with recipes, groups for homeschooling and cooking, baking, natural health. We try to put as many resources on there as we can. But thank you for your support. It greatly helps our family.